There's a little bit of a problem because you keep forgetting your lines. And I ain't going to be able to pack out this arena until you remember your lines. And until we move on from this bit, like, we ain't getting 50,000 in the stadium over there, right? We ain't filling this up. That's what I'd say to them.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Paul Gough Audio Experience. It is Jake, your content editor and social media producer here. Here on Planet Paul, I create this podcast, all of the social media content you see, and I also help our community of growing business owners on Planet Paul get their own content out as well. And I'm very excited to bring you this special episode of the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Today, I have pulled out a coaching call Paul had a couple months ago where a community member came on the call to talk about her new staff. She said there are great people in her eyes, but they're missing some easy things on their daily tasks, which is leading to frustration, even though there are systems set in place to prevent this happening. This prompts Paul to go off on one of his classic rants where he clearly defines how you can hold your staff to their standards while still getting great results and having a good workplace at the same time. Now, if you like this podcast and want to enhance your patient communication and follow-up sequence, head to paulgough.com/infusionsoft to watch Paul's free training dedicated to how he grew his 4 clinics in the UK. There's only a few spots that we host this training on each week, so head to paulgough.com/infusionsoft to save your spot today. That's all I have for you guys. This is going to be a great classic Paul-style rant, and I'll let it get started. Bye.
I actually didn't have this question until you started talking, and now I have the question.
That's so, the idea of the kickoff. It just stimulates some mental arithmetic, a little bit of thought gymnastics, and all of a sudden it's, oh, yep, that's the problem I've got.
Yeah, and it was point number one. It was this: the bamboo will be 1 foot taller next year, and I'm towing the line, or, you know, trying to be on the right side of the line of having good expectations of my team, and that phrase that you get what you tolerate.
Yep.
Kind of was the story of 2019, and I swore to myself that I would do better with my, I'm blessed to have new staff, so I can kind of let bygones be bygones with 2019, and moving on, I feel like I can do it right this time.
Yep.
And I love my staff. They're fantastic at what they do, and I am trying to figure out when I see inefficiencies, when I see problems that are repeated, that seem like system problems, and, oh, but we have a system for this, it just wasn't followed. I'm finding myself feeling frustrated, but yep, wanting to be very careful to not bring that frustration in such a way that they feel underappreciated. And so, but hearing you say that makes me think, okay, they're both in brand new roles that they've never been in any job that they've ever had, and that perhaps they just need to grow, and I need to allow there to be that slack.
I think it's a good question, and I know we all kind of wrestle with it, because then somebody's always going to go and they always push me, and somebody will, but how do you know when to cut them loose? Like, how do you know when?
And they're not going anywhere. I love these girls. I just want to support them.
I think it's this, right? There's a very, when I say you'll get what you tolerate, right? It happened through COVID, right? I'll back up and we'll come back to it. Through COVID, been all the way throughout, I said, look, just be kind to your staff and understand their fears, and you don't know what's going on at home and who their parents are or what their conditions are or who their friends are talking about and who's sharing what on their social media, right? All of this was creating monsters, fear-driven monsters, right, that caused people to call in sick and I don't want to come to work and potentially lie about their underlying, I've got a cough or I've got a cold, right? Good. All right, I'll play this, right? Because this is big and it's unique and none of us really know, and there's, you know, blah blah blah, right? But where I drew the line on be kind to your staff was when your staff person was going out of their way to send messages to other staff members that says, like, we shouldn't be going in tomorrow because, like, this is wrong morally, and the government said that we should only open up if this, and blah blah blah. And if somebody's going out of their way to hurt you and blatantly undermine you, right? That's not be kind to them. That's shoot them. That's like publicly hang them. That's absolutely indefensible in any situation. That's not out of character. That's revealing character, right? That's in the cold light of day. You're going out of your way to screw me over, to get one over on me, right? That you didn't have the decency to come to me face to face and go, I'd love a conversation with you about this. Here's where I'm at, right? And if they'd come to me and said, hey, listen, I don't believe in this and I think this is wrong and I want to stay at home, you might go, okay, good for you. Cool, go home. But we'll be fine in a month. We just completely disagree on this thing. But I appreciate that you came to me. What I don't and can't tolerate is that you undermined me and messaged everybody in the company and said that my leadership style was this and I shouldn't have done this and you know, I'm just a money grabber or whatever, right? Which happened in this group. Staff were doing that to people in this group. But equally, then some people were wrestling with but I had this girl who like phoned in sick 3 times with a cough and a sneeze and said she didn't want to do this and she knew I had a really busy schedule. I'm going, yeah, I get that one. Like, I'll tolerate that one because I think that is a fear-driven monster and she just doesn't know what to do for the best. But the minute that girl starts in the cold light of day messaging everybody else in the company to win them round, to her point of view, you've got a fucking monster in your business that needs to leave, right? That's the difference. Everybody make sense with that? Then I'll tolerate the fear decision, but not the blatant undermining and wanting to be right, to screw me over, to make this difficult for me, to get their own way. Like that's not tolerated in my world, ever, right? So in the situation of an employee where it's like, okay, come on, this is the 17th time that you forgot the thing. Yeah, I think what we have to be careful of is this person actually capable? Versus, and this is what will come to you with, and this is not me being condescending. What will naturally come in your own bamboo shoot analogy is that eventually you'll start to see the difference between that person just doesn't have the ability to think, to be disciplined, to say or do what they say they're going to do. They just can't do it, right? And many people can't. Look at the diet industry, for one, right? We don't have a problem fucking starting diets, but a lot of us have a problem sticking to the damn thing. Or the cigarette industry. We don't have a problem stopping cigarettes for a week, but the other problems stop forever. The alcohol, like, this is life. And what we've got to do is recognize that what we're talking about here, or what this guy is talking about, I believe, is where we're developing them into lateral thinkers, into strategic thinkers, into somebody that can come to you and go, Laura, I've nailed this, right? I get the systems. I'm not having to think about doing this system. I'm not having to think about this script now. I'm not having to think about what my job is at 9:05 or 9:10. And when that phone rings, I'm not having to think about the objection. I'm now starting to think about what's next for this company. I see a choke point over there you can't see. That's what he's talking about here, that he wants to grow them into those thinkers, that they come to him with ideas. They come to him with cultural issues. They come to him with obvious issues going on in the business, obvious opportunities that are not being hit, right? That's what he's talking about, which is another level that you're transcending from, I can't get the system right. I can't press the tag on Infusionsoft, or I can't follow the script. That's the bit that you have to kind of go, oh, hang on, is there a issue here with that level versus this is where I want you to be? Does that make sense? I wrote about this a while back. If anybody remembers The Cash is King, I did it about 2 years ago when I'd gone to see Beyonce, right? She was singing at Wembley Stadium with Jay-Z. And I wrote about this in Cash is King where I said, ultimately, what you watch when you see somebody like Beyonce, right? Or Adele, or somebody who's just in another stratosphere, right? There's good performers. There's people who are good. And then there's Michael Jackson, right? There's like, I don't know, right? There's whoever. Backstreet Boys, right? They're good. They were good, right? But then there was like Michael Jackson, right? Next level. There's, I don't even know who the singers are these days, right? Give me a couple of names. Help me out, right? There's New Kids on the Block, right? Well, there's New Kids on the Block. And then there was Backstreet Boys, right? New Kids on the Block were good, but the Backstreet Boys were a little bit better, right? And then there might be an NSYNC. But above that was Jackson, right? And this is the difference. When you watch somebody like Beyonce or Jay-Z, right? Who is just in another level of energy and grips you. She has nailed beyond belief the move, the singing, the vocals, the facials. She's just got all of that to an absolute T, right? Where she just gets it, nails it, and can do it with her eyes shut, which means she's got so much more energy left for that next level of charisma and razzmatazz. That's the X factor, right? The one who is still grappling with the moves, the choreography, the words, she's still thinking about what to say. And as a result, there's no energy left over for the performance, right? You show me somebody who's good and they're still thinking about the songs. They're still thinking about the choreography. They're still thinking about the dance moves being right and all in line. You watch Beyonce, she knows that inside out. So what's left is all of her energy for the show, for the bit that you and I remember, the stage presence, the confidence, the next level of how she's going to present this show to you, right? The laughs, the giggles, the humor, that how she interacts with the audience. Michael Bublé was one of the best I've ever seen at interacting with the audience. It was stunning because he just knew how to sing. He just knew how to hold himself. He'd rehearsed it so often, so well, that when it came to the interactions with the crowd, he had the crowd literally in the palm of his hands, right? And there's very few where you go, yeah, you've got it. You've absolutely nailed it. I got to see Whitney Houston 2 years before she died when she did her final tour in Britain, right? It was on that Round the World tour. She couldn't even fucking sing. Like, literally, the audience were finishing the vocals for her, right? And as a result, the performance was dreadful because she was thinking about the songs. She was thinking about the dance moves again. You watch her in the 80s, wow, Beyonce level, because she knew what she was doing. Therefore, the rest of her energy was for the performance, was for the bit that the crowd walks away and says, that was special. I don't know why it was. It just was, because they nailed every aspect of the basics. Now, this is back to your employees. This is what you're watching for. When they nail every aspect of the basics, they start coming to you with, here's the opportunities, or here's the challenges, the real challenges. Forgetting a script isn't a challenge. Forgetting a tag on Infusionsoft ain't a challenge. Forgetting to put an email inside a web form ain't a challenge. It's fucking abysmal after 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, right? It's like forgetting the words of your song. How many, that's the equivalent. And that's the distinction that you've all got to make. Is this am I tolerating a school level behavior? Or am I now frustrated because this person can't move from being whoever we, NSYNC, right? And I want them to be Backstreet Boys. They're good. They're good. And people are buying their albums. But the Backstreet Boys were another level. Come on, right? Like that was the next step. Like, those guys knew how to sing, dance, dress, the lot, right? And then Jackson, he didn't need to dress. He just needed to land on stage. And boom, we had a performance. Because that guy knew the whole thing inside out, back to front. And he knew exactly how to play the audience and what the opportunity was going to be. Because he could play the audience. Because he was thinking about the audience. And you'll watch it with your NBA stars. You watch it with your baseball stars. They're not thinking about the swing. LeBron's not thinking about this anymore. Jordan wasn't thinking about the fucking dunk. He was thinking about how many twirls he could do to fucking entertain the audience while he was dunking it. Like, that's where he was at. Because he nailed the basics. He didn't have to think about the basics anymore. He practiced them so many times. And what you had left was energy for the fucking jumps, the loops, the layups, the swings, and all sorts of shit. The performance, which made him the trillionaire, the legend, the GOAT, whatever you want to call him. That's Jackson. That's Elvis. That's Beyonce. Where's that in your team? And that's what you're watching for. Am I about to tolerate this guy forgets his lines? How many people would make it on X Factor when they forget the lines in the live performances? None is the answer. I think sometimes as employees, we might be tolerating a forgetting of the lines and thinking that that will improve over 3, 6, 9, 12 months. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I think what you're talking about here is, Laura and everybody, is how do we get people from, they've nailed the tags, they've nailed the filling out the forms, the script's irrelevant, they know exactly what they're doing, they know their day inside out, and now there's something left over for spotting the opportunity that you can't see, Laura, because your head's up your ass dealing with growing a business, or the roadblock over there called cash flow that you can't see coming because you're too busy thinking about hiring the 3 people that you want to continue to grow. That's what we're talking about. That's what he's talking about. And that's the bit that you need to get in your team. We can't be talking about these low-level problems. And I can't give you a better analogy. If they're not doing tags, they're not doing forms filled out, they're not doing send email to client, they're not sending shock and awe box, we forgot the lines in the live finals at X Factor. They ain't going to win, right? Because they ain't selling. Number one, Simon Cowell, God bless his back. Anybody in LA needs a bit of physio right now. Simon Cowell, he ain't taking a risk on giving you a 2-year contract and putting you in a 50,000-seat stadium for you to forget your lines. Once he knows you've nailed the basics and you've got some charisma and some razzmatazz, he'll stick a few million dollars behind you because you'll start wowing the crowd. Because they ain't there to hear you sing. They're there to be entertained, to be made to feel a certain way. That's what entertainers do. Singers sing. Singers make a few hundred thousand dollars, maybe a million. Entertainers make hundreds of millions. Jay-Z makes hundreds. Beyonce makes hundreds. Jackson, Elvis, whoever. They were entertainers. They were the next level. That's who we flock to. That's what you want in your company. People that go from, I remember my lines now. I can see the opportunities. And what we're trying to do, they'll if they can't do this, we can't do anything about them forgetting the lines. Nothing in a million years, right? There's nothing you can do. Don't even try if they forget their lines. But once they've mastered their lines, the next step is going, can I take you into that next level of ops manager, marketing manager, general manager, finance manager, big picture of what the company is about? That's, I believe, what this is referenced to. That makes sense?
Yeah, thank you. That's perfect. How much of that would you share?
So the question is, are they good singers? Can they sing? Can they remember their lines?
What I'm going to work on is clarifying what the basics are for them and give them an opportunity to show me, because I think I'm overloading them, quite honestly. So yep. I guess my question would be, how much of that would you share? Would, like, wholeheartedly, like, open and honest? Or is there any piece of that that is not shared
again
with them?
Say it again. Let me understand it again. Say it again. Which bit would I share?
Is there any piece of what you just said that you would not share with them in terms of, because I like the idea of being open and honest and being like, we all have, I mean just say, look, we all have our big three.
Yeah. Right now, you're new kids on the block. And I want you to be One Direction, right? And there's a little bit of a there's a little bit of a problem because you keep forgetting your lines. And I ain't gonna be able to pack out this arena until you remember your lines. And until we move on from this bit. Like, we ain't getting 50,000 in the stadium over there, right? We ain't filling this up. That's what I'd say to them.
All right, thanks.
Comprende? Analogies are always better. But to be honest, I wouldn't. Well, I am being honest, but to be serious, I wouldn't necessarily come out and go, like, look, come on, you keep forgetting your lines. But I'd say, hey, come on, we need to master the basics. You and I need to nail these basics. In order for you to sell out a 50,000-seat stadium, we have to nail the basics. And right now, we ain't nailed the basics. That's the truth. I hope this, and this is the truth, right? This is your job as a leader. It's not to want to keep them forever. You can't say things like that. None of us can. Their performance dictates whether or not we want to keep them. And that right now is unknown. It's, you just can't say it, and you need to remove them. So I could say that, right, to Cameron, Sophie, anybody I'm staring at right now. I want them to stay based upon what they're currently doing, which is progressing as people, asking good questions, doing the things that today's challenges and tomorrow's challenges are presenting us. That's what Cameron's doing right now. That's what Sophie's doing. That's what all of my team are doing. The minute they stop doing that, then I don't want them. How could I keep them? Why would I? But it's on the I'm presupposing, if you like, that they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And that's not staying at today's performance. It's that they are constantly improving and evolving. That's what they're doing right now. Does that make sense? And that's what you're looking for. It's like when somebody comes out of an interview, I found my rock star. It's like, no, you haven't. You don't know that. We won't know till 90 days, 180 days, 270. You might have found our rock star for somebody else, but not standards. And we don't know if we want to keep these people forever because we don't know if their performance will come with you. We might like them as people is what we're saying. And currently we might be a little bit, and here's what I would say. How can I best explain this? As a business owner, sometimes because the world is against us and it stacks constantly against us, right? It never ever fucking goes our way. It's like the weather. It's like one day it's good and the next day you're like, oh shit, he's a storm coming, right? What we often do is make a fear-based decision that says, I would love to keep all these people because I'm trying to control today's thing. If today I feel good and if I like keep these people, I'm always going to feel good. Sometimes what we've got to do as a business owner is actually accept the fact that right now, somewhere out there, somebody out there in your little town would raise the average of your team. That's a fact. Why can't have the mindset that says, you know what, I like you, but I'm always open. I always believe that somebody out there could be better to improve this team. We have to think like that as business owners. If we don't, we have a fixed mindset. If we have this mindset, right, which is, and I love this conversation because so many of you are in it. We have a mindset that says, oh shit, I'd better not lose these staff because they're all good and I've already committed to wanting to keep them forever. And that's how you have a fucking mutiny on your hands. Oh, I don't lose Sally because Sally, oh, she's great and I don't want to lose her. 3 years ago, she came in and she was just wonderful. Well, yeah, it's now 2020. The game has moved on. And so have you, by the way, as a business owner, in your confidence, in who you are, in your skills, in your mindset, in your understanding of recruitment, your business's needs have evolved. This is how I want you thinking. Absolutely am I grateful for the team that we've got. But you have to be thinking that that business could potentially be better, because if not, we're basically saying that the business has hit a ceiling and that not one of the person out there could raise the average of the team. I think that's your job to go find that person. It's a great, and again, I've just understood that recently, or had it taught to me, if you like, that every person that you employ should raise the average. If not, what was the point? Make sense? You've got everyone of you should and needs to be thinking like that, so you're not backed into a corner. That's the biggest strategic growth mindset that you're looking for. I love these people right now, but it's not mutually exclusive that I couldn't think of potentially finding other people to come in and do an equally good, if not better, job. And all of a sudden, you're not making fear-based decisions. It's funny. My mum was with us on holiday last week, on vacation. And to say that my mum likes to be in control is an understatement, right? And since her and my father split up, she's become more and more of a control freak, right? Because her argument was that when she was with my father, he tried to control her. And like, no man will ever control her ever again, right? Now, what she doesn't realize is that like, the person that's controlling her is still the view that she has of men, right? So she's still controlled hugely, only now she's controlling herself. And she said to me something while we were having a drink. She said, I didn't know how I was going to handle this holiday. And I said, why? She said, well, I'm just so used to being in control. I'm so used to knowing exactly where we're going, on what day we're doing it. She said, whenever I go away with my friend, she goes away with her girlfriends all the time. She books it. She books the hotel. She books all the excursions. She books everything, right? She knows when they're all going, at what time, in what bar, what they're drinking, and the whole thing. And her friends love it because they just go, there you go, Alison. You go organize everything, right? And she has to be in that world. So after about 2 days where she's with us, me and Natalie, the most laid-back people on the planet, I don't wear a watch. I don't check my phone. I'm like guided by the sun. If the sun fucking comes up, I know it's 8 o'clock. And if it goes down, I know it's 7 o'clock, right? That's how I live when I go on holiday. If I end up in a bar at 7:30 or 9:30, I don't give a shit. If I eat at 6 or I eat it, I'm not asked, right? I want to do absolutely nothing except what I want to do at the moment I want to do it. That's my holidays. My mom, she is like irritated as shit by mine and Natalie's way of living, right? And by after 2 or 3 days, me and Natalie are giggling like crazy because we can see her out of the corner of our eyes. She's like checking her watch, looking at her phone. And we're going to go to the beach. We're like, no, we're quite cool here. Well, do you want to go for food? No, thanks. We had a good breakfast. Well, do you want to get in the pool? No, the kids. Well, why are the kids in the pool? I'm like, mom, they have a pool in their garden. This is like fucking TV to them. Without being disrespectful, they're not going to get in the pool all day, every day. Like they're not going to do it because they do it at home. They're having a fucking holiday from the pool. That's what we do. We do things that we don't normally do, right? So they didn't want to do stuff. And that irritates me, mom, that we're all just lounging around doing jack shit all week. I go, mom, this is a holiday. Like, this is what we do. We do nothing because we spend our entire lives on and off flights, in and out of fucking tennis clubs, soccer clubs, events, seminars, teaching, coaching call, half an hour here, half an hour there. I'm like, I want nothing to do with control. Like, if I do nothing, that's a successful day for me on vacation. And she said, oh, I just want to be in control. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, do you still want to grow as a person? She said, yeah, I'm always reading books. I said, well, you'll have to give up control. You'll have to give up control. I said, it's not possible for you to grow while you want to be in control because the two are inversely proportional. They work completely against each other. And what you see with most business owners is just what I'm speaking about. This is a refresher for some of you. And particularly when crises happen, what we think is we need to get more in control. And what we do when we get in control, we feel good for a moment. It's like getting angry. What happens when you get angry? You feel good for a few moments. And all of a sudden it goes. You felt powerful for a few moments. Power goes. You feel weak. What do you have to do? Get angry again. Oh, all of a sudden I feel in control again. And boom, off it goes. I feel powerful again. And all of a sudden you've created a feedback loop that every 20 minutes, every half hour, you need to get angry with something or somebody or find fault with somebody. And for 5 minutes, you feel strong and powerful again. If you're not careful, you spend your entire life like it, and you're getting more and more control, but less and less growth, less and less fulfillment. And the control, this thing that you perceive, lasts less and less. As business owners, this is who we are. This is what we have to learn to do. We have to learn to give up control, to be comfortable not being in control, but at the same time, still be making the final decisions on things. That's what we do. Same with staff, back to the staff conversation. We don't have to have this view of the world that everybody will stay with us. What we're doing in that moment is trying to stay in control. Elora, when you tell yourself that you want these people to stay with you, you feel in control in that moment. In our relationships, I can't bear the thought of this man or this woman ever leaving me. My life will be a mess. It's Hollywood shit. You will be completely fine. You will figure it out. You've figured every single thing out to this point in your life. This thing over here, this concept is an illusion passed on to you by somebody. The only person that you need is yourself. The only person who can make you happy is yourself. It is a fabrication to think that somebody else can provide you with a lifelong happiness. Biggest load of bullshit lies that you've ever been taught. You can be happier together, but an individual, man or woman, on their own cannot make you happy. And the more that you think that they can, the more that you are wrestling with trying to get control over them, and vice versa, probably. Same in offices. The more I control my staff, the more I think that they will do for me and not go anywhere. Cut them free. Let them make mistakes. Let them figure it out on their own. No, I won't be available to talk. What are you doing? Nothing. Figure it out. Ring me in 3 days. If it's still important, we'll talk. More often than not, it won't be. And here's what I think, right? This is what I think. If after 3 fucking days in this world, right now, connected to the fucking internet 24/7, with Google at the touch of a button, YouTube, which got possibly every single video that answers every single fucking question on the planet with access to anybody at any time, if you can't figure out how to do this thing with 3 days given to you, you might as well leave the building right now. That's what I think. Yeah? Do me a favor and leave the fucking building right now, is what I think, right? But nearly always, they do figure it out. But it's that we feel like we have to be there, that we feel like we're going to be detrimentally affected somehow if somebody don't press a fucking tag on Infusionsoft or don't fill a form out or a customer fucking whinges. Let them whinge. Let the client, let your staff figure it out. If they keep whinging for the same reason, then you dig into the process of the reason it keeps happening. But you don't fight the fire. You stop and change the person that keeps setting the fucking thing off. And the more that you swoop in, the more that you're trying to stay in control. The best thing that you can do is step back from the whole thing and disconnect yourself from anything to do with what any of your staff do or don't do. It will be of no reflection to you or your business at all. It is a reflection on them, a little bit on your judgment for recruiting them, but not the ultimate outcome. Unless you tolerate it week after week, month after month, year after year, then it's your fault. Then it's your issue. But for crying out loud, give up control. It doesn't mean that you're going to be reckless. It doesn't mean that you're walking away. It means that you're not emotionally attached to any of it. You're emotionally attached to your own growth, to your own development, which, by the way, the illusion is that you do have to give it up, that the more that you're developing, the less control that you'll need. Give up the control, the more you'll grow. Because you'll be thinking more about what you want and all of this shit and what it means, rather than getting involved in it constantly day after day after day. There's no growth in any of that. As I explained to my mother, what's the real reason that she thinks she needs to be in control? Because currently she doesn't think that she can live with the circumstances that might or might not occur if she is not in control. Fear-based life. That's it. I'll say it again. Whenever you think you need to be in control, that you must have a set of circumstances and or conditions that must add up in your life, you're basically telling yourself that you could not control, you cannot cope, you cannot live with it if it doesn't exist. Right there and then, in that moment, your life is over. Game over. You're about to spend the rest of your life perpetually stuck in needing a set of circumstances, set of things to happen perfectly every time, every day, every week, and every month for the next however many years. Fucking good luck getting that to happen. These things don't line up one fucking day on the trot, never mind year after year after year, in life or in business. Therefore, the only solution is to figure out how to give up control and to be okay with whatever time you eat, wherever you go, whoever you are with, whatever the fucking letter is that comes through the post, whatever the email is, whatever the staff person does, you don't have another choice. It is the only thing that you should be obsessing over is how to deal with a set of circumstances that if they are not going to go your way, you will be happy or fine anyway. Obsess over that for the rest of your life and watch the fulfillment and happiness that comes with it. And by the way, the cash that will roll in. It is unreal. When you switch the circumstances, when you're trying to hold something and keep something and get something, all of a sudden, that this is relationships. I'm trying to hold on to this person, and the more I try to hold on, the more they resist me. The more they resist me, the more I try to hold on because I'm fearful of losing them. I'm trying even harder. Now I'm fucking making sure they come in at a certain time. Now I'm making sure this person does this thing, and I'm going to ring them if they're 1 minute late. What did they do? They stay out fucking later. Bang, clash. Because the fear. Everything is fear-based in this life. It's a human instinct. It's a trait. And it evolves in your friendships, your relationships, your business, and your life because you're the same fucking person. You're not Clark Kent putting on Superman's outfit when you drive to work. You are who you are. And how you'll deal with fear in your life or your business, your relationships with your staff, with suppliers, vendors, insurance companies, politicians, fuck them all. They're all fucking irrelevant in this whole bigger picture. Not one of them can influence your life or change your life should you choose to accept it. You think that you need them all? It's game over right now, and you are in for a perpetual life of struggle, fear, and torment, where every single day you will wake up and think, what the fuck is the point? The point was the challenge to deal with it. The point was the obstacle to smash the fucking thing down. The point was the staff headaches and hassles to figure out how to overcome it. Not to control it and get it right, to pat yourself on the back on a night and go, well done, you fucking nailed it. So at the end, you write your own story so that your regret is you won't be able to do it all fucking again. And instead of waking up every day thinking, how can this be easier? And how can the government give me more shit or more loans or more money or more fucking time off? You'll figure it out for yourself and you realize that none of them were needed in the first place. Nobody. Parents included. I wish my parents would give me more money. I wish my parents would cut me more slack. Irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be lovely? It probably wouldn't be for most of us. I had this conversation with my mum, but when we got talking about my dad, same point. I was like, you know what? There's a very real conversation that goes on in my head every day that I probably, again, after reading this, you track back very successful people. I promise you, when you dig into their lives, 8 out of 10 of them that I've studied and read, watched, heard about, observed, there's a big problem called the mother or the father that didn't approve of what they were doing, that drove them on. And had it not been for that, they wouldn't have done the thing that they were doing. I have a conversation every day. Which one do I want? If I'd have got that, would I be doing this? That's a pretty powerful question because you presuppose you'd get both when your behavior is driven by something else. The need to support yourself, the need to figure it out for yourself, the absolute requirement to get it right for yourself, because no fucker's going to support you. You watch what happens to you. I put it to you that all of this shit is happening to you. It's an absolute test for you. You'll figure it out. And if you do, it'll be the best thing that fucking ever happened to you. And I said it when it all kicked off with COVID, financial crisis, and whatever else is to come. This will be the making of most of you. When you learn to live with these types of challenges, economical conditions, shit that's coming from your staff, shit that's coming from friends and family all around you, negativity and fear, learn to live with all of that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lessons we're all getting right now. Anyway, that's my little fucking rant for the day. The ultimate control is the ability to let go of control. Otherwise, you are being controlled. Exactly. You're being controlled by the need to be in control. Which doesn't happen. of all of the variables in this life, if you can figure out or control any of this shit, my goodness, let me know. Please write a book on it. But staff, if you can figure out how to control their emotions, their fucking challenges with husbands and wives and kids and hormones and fucking addictions and illnesses and problems in their extended family, if you can control all of that, let me know. I don't think you've got another choice but to give up control. Doesn't mean you let go of achieving what you want. It means you let go of the feeling that you think you have to have in order to get there. Complete opposite is true.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.